Y'all, I think I'm going to step on some toes today. And I'm okay with it. I really, really am. Because if this serves entrepreneurs, if this serves my underestimated entrepreneurs that I want to see grow businesses with consistent six figures, consistent seven figures, and like really, really, really build businesses that do the darn thing, then sometimes we're going to have some uncomfortable conversations. So today's topic is, why do Black women keep creating soap businesses rather than system-changing businesses? Ouch! Now, if we've never met before, my name is Maya Haridet. I'm a business coach and speaker, and I help businesses uncover what they don't know that they don't know about running successful businesses. And listen, there's a lot of really amazing content and a lot of really great conversations that are out there right now. I find that far too often for especially my underestimated entrepreneurs, it's not the things that we know that are keeping our businesses from growing. It's the things that we don't know, right? Things like sales planning and understanding what it means to set up a sales plan every quarter and really review it and evaluate it and see where your wins are coming from. You know, setting up things behind your business, your systems, your processes, things that are going to allow your business to really, really be able to grow and honestly get you out of the day-to-day work of the business. I'm all here for that. So I do a lot of work where I speak to different audiences. I work with different companies around entrepreneurship and equipping entrepreneurs. And I also run a group coaching program called Crush Your Sales Plan, where I work with entrepreneurs for 6 months who are saying, you know what, Maya, this is not just some cute side hustle for me. I want to put some serious legs, some serious roots and foundations in my business because I want to see some consistent money come in. And so if that's you, I'm here for it. And I'm going to drop some science today about an area that's a little touchy, but it's something I think we really need to dive into and explore. So a couple of weeks ago, a friend asked me to check out a Black woman's business directory for entrepreneurs, right? So these were all Black women entrepreneurs that had listed their businesses within a directory. And, you know, listen, I'm going to center today's conversation on Black women, but to be frank, this could also work with a lot of other affinity groups. But this one in particular really touches my soul. I identify as a Black woman, and I'm here for centering these tough conversations. And so in a nutshell, she asked me to check out the directory to look at some of the businesses in there and, oh, make sure you buy and you patronize from the businesses. And I don't know how many of y'all have experienced this, but every time I look at these affinity entrepreneurship directories, it's always the same 20 businesses, right? So if somebody tells me to go to a Black woman's business directory, there's like five things I'm going to say. Come on now. Y'all know what the five things are, right? I know you know. Shea butter. Right? Some sort of lotion or something that we're going to keep our skin moisturized. There's always some sort of hair product that's in there. Soaps or perfumes or things that we put on our body are going to be thrown up in there, right? Depending upon the type of directory, you might see some food if it's something that's local or a regional type of thing. And then there's always some sort of creative arts type of, you know, business that's in there, right? Now, or maybe t-shirts or something like that. Now, listen, I want to be 1,000% clear. I am not throwing shade at all on these directories. I really loved during the Black Lives Matter moment, that we really started centering some of these different groups and businesses in a way that had never been able to receive love and receive major marketing. So be clear, I'm 1,000% here for people shining a light on affinity businesses, right? And yeah, as a Black woman, I do want to spend money within a Black community of other fellow Black business, other Black entrepreneurs, right? 1,000% here for that. But I think there's some things missing. And it's not even the fact that myself as a service-based business, I usually don't put my business in those directories, right? Because a lot of times those directories are very much related to consumers buying your products or services, right? So I get why, you know, some types of businesses are not going to be there. Like a lot of the work that I still do is still B2B. So I sell my services, my training services, my workshops, my program development types of services. I sell it to other companies. You know, my business is not going to do well necessarily in a directory like that. It might, but that's not, even with my coaching for that matter, I have to have some sort of a relationship. People are just not going to buy based upon the directory. So I understand why there's different, you know, businesses or all types of businesses are not in those directories. My point is I'm tired of the same five businesses in there. And the same five businesses, and I'm just going to say it out loud, that don't have scalable models that are going to allow them to grow. And that's what my frustration is. It's not the business idea itself. I'm all here for women. I'm all here for Black women creating businesses and starting businesses, because I think there's something incredibly powerful about being an entrepreneur. And I also want to be clear, we all go through stages in business, right? 1,000%. If you're first getting started, yeah, your business is going to look like a side hustle. 1,000%. But at some point, you got to be willing to take off the training wheels. And the revenue, for the record, may or may not even be there yet. And you got to be willing to represent your business in a way that's going to allow it to grow. And I want to give you three areas that a lot of times these businesses are not thinking about. And we'll dig into what I mean in a minute as to why very often these types of businesses challenge me. And yeah, I also know, and you can shout me out in the comments, I'm fine with this, that you're probably thinking, yeah, but Maya, look at Target right now, right? Like, there's a Black hair care section in Target. Like, that didn't exist years ago, right? So clearly there's a market for it. Oh, 100%. I have literally gone into the Target market aisle and like jumped up and down for joy, right? Because I can recall the years when I used to travel. I know my sisters out there understand. You would travel and you have to have a whole separate suitcase for your hair care stuff. Because you knew that when you landed at whatever place that you were going to travel to, chances were great, they did not have your hair care products. And if you didn't go equipped, you were going to be stuck when you got there, right? So I can recall getting the perfect hairstyle that would last exactly a week so I don't have to travel with the hair care products, or traveling with a ton extra because they ain't going to have my lotions, potions, and things. So be clear, I am not at all disavowing, or if anything, I am so celebrating that we do have now opportunities. We do have ecosystems. We do have lanes of distribution, right? Where our businesses can grow. I'm still going to say a lot of those businesses I see in those Black businesses directories for women, they have not thought through their business in a way that's going to allow them to get to that stage. So here are three things that I want you to be aware and look out for. All right. So here's the first one. The first one is, are you creating a business that is so super dependent upon you in order to grow the business? Here's what I mean by that. A lot of the businesses that I see when I do my the entrepreneurship workshop, so I do 40-hour training programs a lot of times with different economic development corporations, nonprofits, things of that nature. And very often the business models that I will see coming in into those programs, people are just getting their businesses started, right? Totally here for it. And so they have to go to events, to fairs, to pop-up shops in order to be able to sell their merchandise in certain cases, right? Sometimes there are brick and mortar stores that are coming into these programs, and then obviously they have a location they can sell from. But even with that brick and mortar store, is the business dependent upon you to sell the product, or does the product sell itself? Now, I know that ideally we want the product to sell itself, but what I'm saying is you got to be willing to do your customer research and really, 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 really drill down when you create your product or service and come up with something so darn hot and sticky and sexy and amazing and whatever word suits you, that people are going to come back and hunt you down. Got it? And here's what I mean by that, right? So I could go to a vendor event and see a booth that's there where there's someone selling soap. Let's go back to my earlier example. And I'll buy the soap the one time because I talked to the owner of the business and the owner's really cool and we just got along well. And I'm like, yeah, I want to support this woman. She's awesome. She's amazing. And I get home and I get the soap home and I use it one time and it's good, but it's not game changing. It's not revolutionary. It doesn't like rock my whole world, right? And so what happens then is that that business owner never got my contact information, never built a relationship where they could talk to me outside of that initial purpose. And then here's the biggest one of all. They never figured out what type of customer that I was, if I was their ideal customer, and then how to get their ideal customer to be able to buy more again and again and again and again and again. Y'all, that takes more work than just putting up a flyer or putting up a booth and selling. You got to be willing to go in and talk to your people and ask questions and drill down and figure out what's going to make them buy again. And I'll give you an example, ironically, in the soap category of what I mean by that, right? Now, you think soap, right? Okay, well, I need to wash my body with it. So clearly I need some of it. I need to wash my hands. So I've got to keep some of it in the house. But let me tell you about a soap product that actually I did change my buying habits with. And ironically, now that I think about it out loud, there's no soap company that has actually interviewed me on this, but that's okay. When my daughter was younger, right, and she was in preschool, she went through a phase, like I'm sure that all kids go through, where instead of hitting the soap pump once to wash her hands, she'd hit that pump like 20 times, right? She got the smallest hands of anybody in the house, but she's trying to make sure she gets good, clean hands. And so she's going to sit up there and use like a quarter of a bottle of the hand soap every time she washes her hands. It was driving me crazy because my soap bill had gone through the roof. Now, at the same time, lucky for me, foaming soaps had come onto the market at that time. So I was like, oh, bet. This is a game changer. She can use her 20 pumps with the foaming soap, but it's not going to cost me the same cost per pump that it would cost me if I'm using the regular thick, you know, regular, those thick viscosity, you know, regular hand soaps that if an adult uses, they know, just use one pump. Okay, listen, come on. I know the moms out here can laugh at this. Please, I can't be the only one that went through this. Well, it's interesting. She's way older now and, you know, she knows like not to use, you know, 20 pumps to wash her hands one time. I still kind of use the foaming soaps. I found them. I like them, right? I don't have them in all of my sinks, but I still like them. I think that there is a value in what they offer. I kind of like the feeling of the foam. It's fun to have it come out on my hands. And so now, literally years later, the first company that I bought the foaming soaps from has been able to make money from my household because I continue to use the foaming soaps and I haven't gone back to the thicker viscosity hand soaps again. Did you see that example? Now, this is the key. The company should have done, and they haven't, now that I think about this out loud, nobody's ever asked me about why I changed my buying habits in the first place and then how they could keep me, right, in this same lane of continuing to buy these foaming soaps. And nobody's tried to court me back with the thicker hand soaps, right? Like there's something there in that regards. And that's the work that you as a small business, that you as an entrepreneur, you've got to do. You have to figure out, why do your people buy? And if you don't have clarity on why your people buy, and to be frank, it probably has nothing to do with what's in the soap. Got it? We're all obsessed a lot of times with, oh, the ingredients of the soap and it's all natural and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that may matter. But a lot of times it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with something else that the customer sees and wants. And so for all of you that are creating soap businesses, shea butter businesses, hair care products businesses, right? I'm here for it 1,000%. I also need you to do some really in-depth customer research. And by the way, this counts for my service-based businesses as well. Don't think y'all are exempt from this also. You've got to understand why people buy. Because the real work, the real heavy lift to move your business from a side hustle into an ongoing business is you understand why your customer buys and why they're going to come back again. The first buy is always easy, right? You just got to be nice enough and smile at enough people. Getting them to come back and spend month after month, year after year, that's where the real heavy lift comes in from. And that's the real work that I would encourage you all in your businesses to start doing the deeper dive on, is don't turn me into a one-time customer. Figure out how to dive in a whole lot deeper, because that's where your real money comes from. That's where your growth comes from. Now, that leads into another piece that I think is another big missing thing from a lot of businesses, is that is businesses very often get started and we're trying to use the cheapest things possible to start it, and then we don't build solid foundations in our business. Okay, so what do I mean by that, building solid foundations in our business? When you get a business started, if you were to go to buy a franchise tomorrow, right, you would probably have to invest a couple $1,000s, in some cases, a couple $1,000,000 in order to buy the franchise, right? You would have startup costs. Now, when you're buying a franchise, you kind of get it because you're like, oh, well, I'll get a customer list. I'll get training on how to run the business. I'll get, you know, land on where the business is going to be located at, or the company doing the scouting for me to find the best location so I don't mess this up, right? Like you're getting all of these bells and whistles thrown in and you kind of understand that. But I want to challenge you. Why do you think that in your own business, you're not going to need to invest in your business in order to build foundations in the same way that you would if you were buying a franchise? What makes you think you don't have to spend money in order to be able to grow this business? And I want to be clear, it's not just the spending the money part, it's how you make the decisions around the money that you're spending and why you do what it is that you do. So I'll give you one that always drives me crazy in workshops, which is the question when people say, oh, what's the cheapest website thing that I can get my business up on overnight? Like, what's the cheapest one I can get? I need the free platform. Listen, free ain't always free. Now, again, in the early stages, you may not have a whole lot of money. So you're just kind of working with the best thing that you possibly can. And I'm here for that 1,000%. I got you. But at a certain point, you either need to A, start reinvesting 100% of the profits from this business back into the business so that you can do better and grow, or you're going to have to take money from your, you know, daytime job or however you have money coming in to build this business up, right? Otherwise, you're just not going to sustain yourself. It just doesn't work. And I'll give you an example of what I mean. I've known a number of people that have worked with a number of platforms. I'm not going to mention them now. I ain't throwing no shade at them. A number of platforms that because this month they don't pay the platform, they lose the whole business. And then when they try to go back 6 months later, 12 years or 12 months later, because that's when they finally get the money to pay everything back and blah, 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 the company has already deleted all of the files. And be clear, they didn't delete your files. They just ain't giving you access to your files, okay? And so now you got to start all the way from scratch again. Now, on the other hand, when I got my first website up, I did my homework. And now this is years ago, y'all. I didn't have the options that you all have today of how to get a website up. There were only a handful of players that were out there. And for the most part, you had to pay someone to code the website from scratch. Well, I made the choice back then to spend my money on WordPress. And I will still champion WordPress to this day for two key reasons. One, I always own my own data. If something happens to my business today or tomorrow, I can pull all the data off, dump it in a file, wait for 2 or 3 years or whatever the case may be, and then re-upload that sucker tomorrow, totally at my leisure because I own the data. It's not being housed by this free 99 service that you think is free, but ain't really free. They own your stuff. And then the second part about WordPress, which for me has been so monumental and transformative. You know, WordPress and a lot of the platforms like it are those types of tools that they grow with you. They're designed to grow with you. They're designed for you to lay a foundation where you could just put up an initial page, right? And you're okay with that. And then you can add as many additional pages and posts and, you know, plugins and bells and whistles and all these things behind the scene as you grow. I mean, I can't tell you how many times it's come in handy where a customer has been like, hey, Maya, can you offer this type of a service? And, you know, we're looking over your proposal and we didn't see blah, 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 blah. And in the back of my mind, I'm doing with most good entrepreneurs do. I'm like, of course we can. While I'm literally coding and drafting the content for the page as we speak so that it looks like it's been on my website all along, right? You're supposed to do that. And that's what a good foundation does. A good foundation in your business is you're investing in tools and technologies and resources that can grow with you. Got it? You're gonna have to spend money. Get over it, okay? No, it's not fair. No, it's not cheap. Yes, you're gonna make a ton of mistakes to figure it out. And for the record, this next one that I'm gonna give you, the next idea is gonna help you figure out how to get through that faster and quicker. But it is part of the process, y'all. It is part of what happens when you're starting a business is you're gonna have to make investments in it. And sometimes those investments are not gonna work, but you wanna do to the best of your ability. You wanna invest in foundations that are going to allow you to build deep, deep roots in your business. Because here's the real deal, y'all. If you're not building foundations in your business, then as you get ready to start to grow, you're screwed. Screwed royally. Right? So I'll give you an example that I learned from someone who does email automation recently, and I thought it was an interesting one. And I was like, wow, I never thought about how correct she really, really is. I heard from a technology expert, and she's really, really into her technology. She understands this really well. You don't want to sign up for platforms and use two-factor authentication. That was her saying of why you don't want to do it. And the reason that she gave is that because what happens is, while on one hand, yes, in theory, the technology is more secure. On the other hand, what happens is now when you get ready to hire your first assistant or your first project manager or business manager, or someone to help you out behind the scenes, they get access to all your stuff. And I've encountered this within my own business. There's a couple of platforms that I've signed up for behind the scenes within my business, some of the systems that I have in my business. And I was like, oh, I'm lazy. I'll do two-factor authentication. And then now when I'm like, oh, I want to transfer that task over to someone else, because listen, as your business grows, you should not be doing everything. You got to set the business up from day one with that idea. If I need to hand this over to someone else, how would it get done? And I'll tell you, that all of the tools that I have where I don't have the two-factor authentication going on, i.e. like I don't have to sign in using just my regular Gmail account. I actually sign in where I entered in an email and I entered in a passcode. It's very easy for me to then share those that information. And be clear, I don't give my passcodes out to anyone. I use one of those tools where you have to log in through a passcode encrypted platform. And, you know, I enter their email in, they can log in and go through and be able to do things on my behalf, but I still have control over what the passcode is. They can't see what the passcode is, right? Listen, that's the deepness of how this foundation things work, is you always got to be thinking from day one, but if I want to hire someone to ever take this task over, can they do it? Are they going to be able to take things over? And if you're not building up your foundations and systems to grow like that, you're going to be in problems. You're going to run into major issues about being able to do that. And so I want to challenge you. You're going to make a lot of mistakes with it, right? And listen, you might disagree with two-factor authentication. I hear a lot of people that say, no, it's the complete opposite. It's way more secure. It's better to do it that way. Don't miss the message here, okay? Don't get caught up in the tactics. The bigger thing is, are you building foundations in your business that are going to allow your business to grow? Or are you building a business model that is always going to require you to do everything? You got to run the social media. You got to run the Stripe account. You got to fill out the vendor paperwork. You got to set up the check, you know, payment and blah, 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 blah. And that, as you start to grow, becomes very complicated and onerous. And I want to challenge you to get out of that from day one, right? As soon as you figure out you've got a product or service that's kind of sort of going to make some sense, start thinking about not just what's the cheapest thing that I can buy for the moment, but what's something that is going to actually give me some legs to grow. Actually, I'll give you an example. This one is a real example, and I really want my folks out here to hear it because I think it's powerful of how much this example can really bite you in the butt if you don't do it correctly. A couple of years ago during the pandemic, I worked with a vendor to support me with a client project that I was working on. And the vendor sent me their invoice through an online payment to payment, like these peer-to-peer lending platforms. And it's not one of the main ones, by the way. It was one that I had never heard of before. So I said, send me the invoice, right? Because I have to pay you for the job that you did. Send me the invoice. He sent me the invoice through this, you know, this peer-to-peer lending platform or whatever. I was like, okay, fine. I've never seen it before. I've never dealt with it, but it's how you work. So I'm more than happy. I'll cut the check, you know, I'll send it out through that thing. And then I sent the money to him. Well, 3 days later, he's like, well, what's up? Where's the money? And I was like, I sent it to you. Like, I literally, after I got off the phone with you to say I was going to send you the money, like 10 minutes later, after I figured out the complication of that darn thing, I sent you the money. He's like, no, it's not there. And I'm like, no, yes, it is. Here's my receipt proving that it's there. Yeah. He was so concerned about using a platform where he didn't have to pay to get his money, or he didn't find an online bank that, you know, you didn't have to pay a whole lot for. There's even online banks that are free, that he wound up using a free peer-to-peer lending platform that took his money, y'all. I don't know if he ever got it, to be frank with you. And on my end, I was like, he was like, well, can you stop it and reissue it? I was like, no. You asked me to send you the money on this platform, right? Like I said, send me your invoice. You sent me your invoice. I paid the invoice through the platform link that you gave me. If you don't get the money, I can't now stop it like I can with a bank, AKA like I pay a bank. So therefore I have some of those tools in place that I can make those types of moves. Do you guys hear me? Right? You hear me about the deep foundations? Yeah. Sometimes I got to pay for that privilege to have a business bank account, but with a traditional business bank account or even the online business bank accounts, be clear, you've got to get a bank account, FDIC insured and all that type of, you know, legit stuff. Yeah, if something like that could have happened, maybe I could have gone and put a stop payment to it, but I don't think that I could have in that case. Yo, he wound up doing a job and he didn't get the money from it. And I know he's mad at me. In my opinion, not my problem. That's the thing of, if you're going to be a business person, build some foundation so that when you go to collect your check, you know you're going to get your check. Like, I've never come across that before in my life because that's not how I work. I've always had a business bank account. Up until recently, I was very strict about having only a brick and mortar bank account. I have one that's online and one that's a brick and mortar. But even still, like the one that I did online, I kind of did a little research before I, you know, went ahead and said yes. because I know that there's a lot of scary things that are out here right now and a lot of options, and they're going to be like, oh yeah, and it's free and you get all this and you get all that. Yeah, but can I get my money? I don't know if you ever got it, to be frank. And I feel really bad about it for him. Don't get me wrong. I do feel bad about it. It's not that at all, but I don't play like that. Right? I know if I send you an invoice through my online bookkeeping system to say, pay me my money, I've picked a verified online bookkeeping resource that's been around for a period of time, and I'm going to get my money. Like, that's how we roll. Okay. So this leads into number three. And I think this last piece to consider about why I don't want to see Black women creating soap businesses, and I want us to see us creating, I don't want Black women creating soap businesses. I want us to create system changing businesses, right? And anyone who identifies as underestimated, who is in your corner? Who is in your network? And I don't mean that loosey goosey term of like, do you go to networking events and kiki it up and smile for the camera and show you're at conferences and all that bullcrap? No. I mean, who can you get on the phone and who can you call that's providing you with the support, right? So for a number of years, I've had a coach. And I've had my back up against the wall a couple of times. And I've had a couple of coaches in different categories. Yeah, I had to pay for those coaching relationships. You know why it's worth every penny that I pay? Because I make up for it in the thousands of dollars of not making stupid decisions because I can go to them and ask them a question. And a lot of times, you don't know what you don't know. Like, that's why I focus on this area of you don't know what you don't know. But you got to have people in your corner that are smarter than you, that are steps ahead of you, as well as people that are on your level and that are thinking and focused and goal oriented in the same way that you are, right? So pay attention to that. Who are the peers who are filling your voice and your ear and your spirit with ideas on growing your businesses, right? Are they trying to just get over and just trying to make $100 for today and not think about how do I build this business for the long term? Right? Are they thinking about trying to spend the least amount of money possible? And so then you're always having to show up at event after event after event after event. But then if you don't show up at that event one day, you don't make money because you ain't got a customer list, maybe? I don't know. I'm just saying, having the right people in your corner, having the right entrepreneurial friends is a game changer, y'all. Now, I'm not going to do a whole podcast on how do you find these people? Where do you make those connections at? But I am going to say this. Stop going after the people who have the crowds around them and just start looking for the smart ass. And I do mean it, the smart ass fellow entrepreneurs that you vibe with and you connect with when you're at different events. They're there, I promise you, because I go to different events and most of the entrepreneurial friends that I have, they go to events. And a lot of times the crowds ain't always around them. Because the crowds are around, you know, this person on social media who has 60 gazillion following. Yeah, but are they going to be there for you when you run into a brick wall and you're like, oh, I need a recommendation for a really, really good accountant? Who do you recommend, right? My last recommendation for an accountant I got from one of those contacts, right? Are they going to be there for you when your back hits against the wall and you're like, crap, I done hit this like this period in my business. I don't know how to navigate this. I don't know how to deal with this. And you need... Maybe the person hasn't dealt with something like it before, but they've dealt with other large clients or they've dealt with other types of situations and they can help you talk through it and think through it. And for the record, I'll just say it out loud. Sometimes you gonna have to pay to be in them rooms, okay? Get over it. It's okay. It's part of the process. Now, I want to be clear. Not every room is going to be the room that makes you feel comfortable. Not every room is going to be the room that you're going to enjoy. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, these are my people. So you may have to test a few rooms first in order to figure it out. But I just want to say for the record, the value of those entrepreneurial relationships that you get is everything. So don't just go to events and just try to see, well, who's going to give me money? Who are my potential customers? That's huge. I don't want to challenge, you know, have you step away from that as a way of running your business. But I really do want you to also think a little bit deeper, right? You may run into a situation where you need to pitch your business and you've never pitched before for a large client. Well, yeah, you could hire someone to help you that might do media coaching with you. You could definitely hire someone that can help you with the sales pitch and things of that nature. But you also need someone else in your corner that's going to talk you off the ledge, right? And I'll be upfront. as good as your friends and your family may be, if they're not running a business and they're not running that same race that we're talking about here of you building a system changing business, they're not going to understand why you're giving up nights and weekends to do it. And they're not going to coach you from the same place. They're going to coach you from to try to protect you. They're going to want to make your fall less painful versus the person who's like, nah, boo, you got a 7-figure business. All right. You're scared. I know, but you got this. You can do this. Like, that's who you need in your corner. That network. That incredibly powerful, valuable network that is going to be really willing to challenge you when you need to be challenged, right? You know, I've been challenged a number of times where people are like, Maya, you dress nice, but you need to up your game a little bit. I won't lie. I've been resistant. I really have. But over time, I really recognize that the advice that they're giving me, it's not to necessarily to hurt my feelings because I feel like what I have on is good, but it's like, listen, they see something else in me. They see some potential of where growth is possible, of where that next level is possible. And I just need to figure it out. Now, here's the key. I don't then have to go out and spend a gazillion dollars on brand new clothes. I can find a tactic or a tip that gets me to that next level without having to spend a ton. But I do need to lean into sometimes the advice that people are sharing with me, especially if the business is not growing the way that I want to. So listen, I didn't mean to throw no shade to none of the soap businesses out there, none of the hair product businesses, none of the shea butter lotions, because listen, we all start somewhere, and I'm here every single time that a woman, and especially a Black woman entrepreneur, says, I'm out here in these streets ready to make money. I applaud that. I'm here for it 1,000%. But I'm going to challenge you. Stop thinking in the side hustle mentality. Stop just trying to make money for today or for this very hour and start doing some of the heavy lifting work. And yeah, it's going to be heavy lifting because every one of the things that I gave you here, it's going to require some research. It's going to require bumping your head up against the wall a couple of times before you figure it out, right? But it's so worth it in the end. It's so worth it in the end. When I look at the businesses that really weather the pandemic, right? Now, some business models couldn't just because of the way that their business worked. And so I totally understand those businesses. But there were a number of businesses that weathered the pandemic. And a large reason why I think they weathered the pandemic, because they had foundations, right? I mean, the simple one that I look at is when all of my clients went from, especially my B2B clients that have very, very complicated invoicing systems, and they all went to ACH overnight. Yo, I was ready to ride. That was easy because I had already set up the systems in place in my business years ago with a business checking account, right? That I could accommodate for that. And so it allowed my business to grow. It allowed my business to kind of figure things out and flourish. And I think for a lot of us, we're making decisions because we want to get that short-term money in. And trust me, I get it. Eggs ain't cheap these days, nor is gas. But sometimes you got to ask yourself that harder question. Am I building this business for the $100 I'm going to get today? Or am I really, really ready to invest for that consistent 6- and consistent 7-figure business model that actually ain't going to require all of me every day that I know is possible if I just dig in and build deeper foundations? All right, y'all. So here's to those deeper foundations. I hope you took some notes, got some ideas. And of course, always welcome to your comments and thoughts. And for any of you that are thinking, Maya, I need to figure out how to build these foundations. I have no idea what you're thinking about and what you're talking about in this podcast, but I get it. I get it. It's the reason why you've been able to stay in business. It's the reason why your coaching clients are making the money that they are. I got it. Then hit me up, direct message me, and let's talk so that we can figure out what your next steps might look like. Take care and have an amazing one.